This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver
Commercial
Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. I'm Corey Wright, and I'm the only one you're going to get today. We're back. We had a small hiatus there for all the parents out there that have kids. Most people have spring break. You got to keep your kids occupied. I was away for a little bit. Adam, I believe, is in Maui, if I'm told correctly. So he obviously is not here. And Melissa was going to be here, but we've overlapped a little bit. And she's so busy with all of her condo sales that she had to be at an inspection this morning. So you're going to get just me. But the good news is we're back. And we're back with a great episode. We have Doug O'Dwyer, commercial insurance broker from Access Insurance. And today we're going to unpack everything and a lot of the misconceptions about insurance on the commercial side. I know a lot of clients we have through the brokerage, there's a lot of things that come up. What do I need? What don't I need? Why is my lender asking me for this? Maybe tenants are, why do I have to have a minimum of $5 million liability? Can't I have $3 million? So today we're going to unpack everything in there to find out what's going on. We're also going to talk about the current state of the world a little bit. Tariffs, how does that impact? Political uncertainty. Unfortunately, there's things called earthquakes that are happening around the world now, more so and even in Vancouver as of late. And we touch a little bit about that, how that might have impact. But without further ado, let's get to our interview today with Doug O'Dwyer, commercial insurance broker, Access Insurance. This is a great one, guys. You're going to like it. Enjoy. This podcast is presented by Impact Commercial.
Impact Commercial. John, Alan, the team over there are fantastic. They've all been on the show.
They have, yeah.
Friends of the show.
Great guys.
Wealth of experience. They can help with all your commercial financing needs.
Whether it's owner-occupiers, land development funds, commercial investments, or multifamily, these guys got you covered.
And they recently obtained their CMHC correspondent lender status.
So for all your commercial lending needs, visit them at impactcommercial.ca.
That's impactcommercial.ca.
This podcast is sponsored by Atlin at Clayton Crest, a master plan community in the West Clayton area built by Zentera Developments.
Zentera is an absolute force, Adam. They've been nominated for Multifamily Builder of the Year for 10 consecutive years and just won again at the Georgies for 2025 Multifamily Home Builder of the Year.
What's really exciting about Atlin is the West Clayton location. You're within walking distance to the future SkyTrain station, giving you that perfect balance of city access while living in a peaceful, family-friendly community in the Fraser Valley.
And if you have kids or are planning to start a family, there's an on-site daycare where residents get first access. This kind of thoughtful planning is why Zentera's projects stand out in the market.
The amenities at Atlin are incredible too, Matt. A rooftop patio with stunning views, fitness center, co-working space, and lounge areas for events. The outdoor space is extensive with two fitness areas, three children's play areas, and multiple spots to relax.
With major investments happening in the SkyTrain and the 72nd Avenue extension, West Clayton is set for explosive growth. This is genuinely one of those opportunities to invest in a community before values skyrocket.
And that's really the key here. This isn't just about finding a beautiful place to live. It's about making a smart investment in your future as the whole area continues to develop.
Pre-sales for Atlin will begin soon. Register today at atlincondos.ca. That's atlincondos.ca.
All right, I'm here today with Doug O'Dwyer, commercial insurance broker over at Access Insurance. Doug, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Corey. Big fan of the show. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, we appreciate it. I will say this before we get into it. I've been trying to get you on the show forever because we've worked together for so long. You've done such an amazing job for us and so many clients there. There's also a lot of questions around commercial insurance there. So I really appreciate you taking the time to fit us into your schedule today. But before we get into that, Doug, can you tell us more about yourself, Access Insurance, how you got into commercial insurance?
Yeah, of course. So I'm a commercial insurance broker. I've been in the industry for 18 years now. I started my career in Dublin, Ireland, my hometown, fresh out of university with no idea what I was getting myself in for. But it's been, yeah, a very interesting and enjoyable career to date. It's taken me to Canada. I moved here in 2014 to Vancouver. And I've been with Access Insurance for 10 of those 11 years. Corey, I think we've been working together for maybe 8 years now.
Yeah, about that, yeah.
So yeah, commercial insurance is my focus. At Access, we do everything in regards, you know, any insurance product is available to our clients across a range of different industries. I do have a keen focus myself on the construction and real estate sector, but I definitely dabble in other industry sectors as well.
Well, this is Doug. That kind of leads me right into why I said it at the top of the show here, why we wanted to have you in the commercial real estate side of things. There's so many questions. And I know we get, and on the brokerage side of the business, we get bombarded with questions. What do I need? What don't I need? Landlords ask us, what do we need? What don't they need? Tenants see these leases that have tons and pages of insurance requirements in there. So this will be a great episode. Maybe let's start with this. What are some misconceptions, and maybe that's not the right word, but what are some maybe misconceptions or misunderstandings about commercial insurance, maybe with what people should have and shouldn't have, regardless to what side of the table they're on?
Absolutely. I mean, I think I can dig into that, but I think it's very important to start just to give a quick overview of where we're at with the current insurance market.
Yeah, please do.
Any of your listeners who are, you know, the consumers and the buyers of insurance would have seen maybe big changes to their insurance portfolio in the last number of years, primarily driven by increased loss ratios felt across the market up until about 2019. So at that point, we moved into what's termed the hard market cycle of insurance, where insurance companies have not been profitable to the levels they need to sustain their business. And we saw a drive towards profitability in regards to increasing premium rates, far more stringent underwriting requirements in relation to types of risk they want to take on, and also reducing their exposure by reducing the capacity and available limits to the buyers of insurance. So, I mean, I would think from 2019 to today, it's been a very challenging insurance market, and it's certainly been quite unique. While a hard market cycle is not unique in itself, what's been unique about this particular hard market, and my first hard market, is, you know, before 2019, we were in that soft market cycle for maybe 15 years before, but the market needed to correct itself with this hard market cycle.
Yeah.
What's been particularly unique about it, I would say, is, of course, we all know from 2019 onwards, we were hit with the global pandemic,
yeah,
which has really complicated, an additional layer, I guess, of complexity to this hard market. The second kind of unique feature of the market is the severe weather events that we're seeing. It's undisputed that they're far more severe and also far more frequent. And that's really had a huge impact on the state of the market in regards to insurance companies' loss ratios. For a little bit of context, when you look at Canada's 10 largest catastrophic losses resulting from, you know, severe weather events, nine of those events have occurred in the last 12 years. So it seems to be, you know, in Canada and around the world, these type of losses are occurring, you know, far more regularly and at a much larger scale. So that's kind of pushed the market into this challenging position. You know, it's not all doom and gloom. We are seeing this year, certainly, that the market is softening up in patches. So maybe certain industry sectors or type of risks that have performed well in the past few years,
yeah,
we're seeing the market softening with kind of reduced rates, maybe more capacity. So, you know, it's been a very interesting time and a challenging time in many ways. But I think we're getting through it, and then hopefully there's a brighter outcome in the years ahead.
Well, one thing I know that me and you were talking before we hit record here and stuff like this, and this is maybe on the landlord side of things, is about maybe under-insuring buildings. And one thing I know that when we acquire properties that you're very adamant for us with our insurance is getting what they call a replacement cost appraisal so we can get stated values is how you explain it to me. Can we maybe talk a lot about that? Because that's one thing I think that right now, and we'll get on to the tenant side of things maybe a little bit after, and then we'll get to the construction side of it. With a landlord, if I've owned a building, let's say for 10 years, and I bought the building, I would have paid X for the building at that time, and it probably would have cost Y probably to maybe reconstruct the building at that time. Fast forward 10 years from now, that building's probably worth a lot more than what I paid and probably costs even that much more to recreate than what it did way back when. Can we touch base a little bit on the landlord side about how that type of issue may rear its head and what landlords should do or shouldn't do when it comes to that stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of this will all link into your first question in relation to kind of common misconceptions. But I think it's fair in you know, the past 5 years, construction costs have ramped up from anywhere between 40 to 50%, which is quite alarming. So, you know, if you're looking at a building that's insured on a replacement cost basis, so you want that new for all coverage. If your building was requiring a 10 billion limit in 2020 to rebuild, you're now looking at a required limit of 15 million to rebuild that same building. So, you know, it's a major issue in the industry. We at Axis, we actually work with a lot of post-loss appraisal companies who are in turn working with insurance companies when these kind of large losses occur, and they determine if, you know, a building is underinsured. And, you know, the feedback we get is in about 25 to 30% of the cases last year, underinsurance was an issue. So if you are a building owner and you haven't been keeping on top of your replacement cost limits in the last number of years, you're almost certainly underinsured.
Yeah.
And that's a major concern. Now, you know, it's obviously an evolving kind of an ever-changing world we're living in regards to additional problems that seems cropping up every day. But now with this whole situation, you know, while it's a new issue we're dealing with and it's very unknown, it seems like it could change with one tweet, it's certainly expected that the costs are going to further ramp up in relation to the tariffs that are going to be implemented. Although Canada has large natural resources, we rely a lot on the U.S. for a lot of those building components that make up, you know, the replacement cost limits. So if costs are ramping up there on an already stretched market, it's really imperative for insureds to relook their limits. The whole concept of insurance of value, to make sure your building limit, which is insured, let's say on the basis of replacement costs, make sure that it actually will respond, your policy will respond when a loss occurs. I think one of the misconceptions around that comes from a co-insurance clause that you'll often find on a building policy.
Yep.
And essentially, what co-insurance clause is intended to do is it's intended to penalize you for underinsurance. So I can give you just a quick example. So if you have a $10 million limit insured on a replacement cost basis and the building it burns down is a total loss, a misconception maybe would be that the insured is going to get $10 million back. But that's not the case if you have a 90% co-insurance clause on your policy and the insurance company has deemed that the building is not actually insured or that limit is not actually to within 90% of its true replacement cost limit. So let's say you're the landlord of the building owner hasn't updated their limits in the past 5 years. That limit is significantly underinsured at $10 million and the true replacement cost can be closer to 15. Wow. So the misconception is that, you know, the insured, okay, sure, they won't get enough back to rebuild their property of $15 million, but they also won't actually get that $10 million back if they're hit with that co-insurance clause penalty. You'd be looking of a payout to $6 to $7 million. So they're really going to be doubly exposed there. And that's why we would strongly recommend, and Corey, you've been great at it, to get whenever you purchase a property or even an existing building, get your building appraised for insurance purposes, very different to a market appraisal. You want to determine what the current replacement cost figure is. And then, you know, once a broker or once we have an updated appraisal along with a signed statement of values, you can get those kind of sneaky co-insurance clause removed on your policy and you get it replaced with a stated amount waiver of co-insurance clause. And once you have that stated amount waiver of co-insurance clause, It means that when a loss occurs, the insurance company is obligated to pay you that policy limit. There's no leeway for them to penalize you for underinsuring.
So what happens in that situation, which, you know, obviously you don't have to give us any examples, but let's say I have a building that gets destroyed and I don't have enough insurance and it's going to cost $15 million to build it back and they're going to give me $7 million. Like, what happens in that circumstance if I don't have $7 million more kicking around to try to actually get the building?
You're out of luck. You certainly are not going to be in a position. You're not going to be in a position to rebuild a building of similar kind of life and quality on that same site. And you know, if you are not going to rebuild, the insurance company will actually reduce the amount you're going to pay out even further by giving you an actual cash value amount.
Wow!
So it's putting you in a really, really dangerous situation. And, you know, it's so easy to get your building appraised. It means, you know, you don't have to get your building appraised every year. A lot of appraisal companies will provide kind of year two, year three updates. Yeah. So once you get that appraisal done in year one, you can move forward from there. And of course, insurance companies and brokers alike will always, you know, keep you, like, should advise you in regards to inflationary increases. Maybe you should be adding on to your building limit each year. But the key is to get that starting point accurate with a current up-to-date appraisal. And it's, you know, it's more relevant than it's ever been, given the increase in construction costs. And now additionally, the uncertainty around the whole tariff situation.
Well, it's funny because one thing we've done this program now for, we got to be over 160 episodes now, year three. Is the one thing that people say, experts like yourself that come on the program and say, what is one piece of advice you can give the listeners? And it's like, hire an expert to help you in certain fields, and that whether that be mortgages or commercial real estate or insurance. And one thing right now, and obviously we've worked together for so long and you've been such a great help to us and guiding us and stuff like that. I learn something new every time I feel like I talk to you. And with the value of real estate and the value of construction that's taken place over the past 5 years and even decade for that point, I could not imagine somebody not having an expert in the insurance side of the business and more so in the commercial insurance side of the business, because someone that does your house may not have the same expertise as you do in commercial. Just how much exposure you might have, like your life savings could be tied up in these buildings. And if something goes wrong, you might be in a really, really bad situation if you don't get the right people involved really quickly.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you know, people have worked hard to build up these assets. So, you know, it's just kind of common sense that you want to insure those assets to the value that they're worth. But unfortunately, you know, I'm a consumer myself. The first thing you always look at is price, right, in regards to how much you're being asked to pay. And while that is, of course, you know, an important consideration in insurance, we do see a lot of insurers are very much driven by the price, and they maybe take the eye off the ball in relation to, okay, what is that premium actually getting me? So they're not taking that close look in relation to maybe the limits of coverage or certain exclusions, certain deductibles in their policy. So I think it's all the more important these days for, you know, clients to really sit down, work closely with their broker. It should be that two-way relationship. So like, yeah, we have Corey. Where my job is really to inform you of what your exposure is and then give you different options to offset that exposure. Every client, every person will have different, risk tolerance and maybe be willing to pay more or less to kind of offset that risk. But our job is really to make sure there's no misunderstanding. You know, when a claim occurs, we want our clients to take comfort that their policy is going to respond as they think it should be. And there are no kind of nasty surprises at claim time. So yeah, that's what we really focus on AXIS.
And one of the benefits too that I'm sure a lot of listeners know, because we try to hammer this point home, if people are buying commercial properties as investments and you have what they call true triple net leases, the insurance costs are part of the operating costs for the property, and those costs are paid for by your tenant. And I know cost is something you have to watch as a landlord, but you definitely don't want to scrimp on insurance of all things, because the difference that I've seen over the years is, yes, there's a fair amount of money difference, but if I have a policy that's $6,000 or potentially to get the better policy, we'll just say for argument's sake is like $6,800, why would I take a risk over $800, especially if my building's worth $3, $4, $5, $6, $7 million? Like, to me, it just doesn't make any sense. And I know one thing that we see a lot when we have clients that are purchasing properties is they'll look at the operating budgets for the properties and they'll see the insurance like $4,500. And then they'll go get a quote on the insurance and they're like, and they're all upset because like, oh, I got a quote back and it's like $8,000. And then you go back and you look at the history of the owner of the building and he's owned the building for 10 years and he probably hasn't ever really increased the value or the liability or anything like that from when he originally bought it, yet the building's worth two or three times. And this is a very common mistake we see happen all the time out there that I scratch my head for people that don't want to get people like yourself involved in the very early days.
No, exactly. And I mean, you know, I love it when I hear, you know, oh, well, a friend is getting for X amount, it's, you know, half the price that, you know, we're trying to charge. And then what I always say is like, please send me a copy of that policy.
We yeah.
Do an apples comparison because, you know, insurance is a pretty simple game. There's a reason why something is priced at X and a reason why something is priced at Y.
Yeah.
And while there are, you know, kind of small variances between insurance companies, depending on their appetite, typically, you know, there isn't that kind of broad range of prices between insurers. And often if there is a major difference in premiums being charged, it's because the coverage is different or maybe the quality of the insurance company is quite different. Yeah, so just the key thing would be, you know, we're definitely focused on getting the most competitive rates for our insurance. There has to be an equal focus on what coverage you're actually providing. Because, you know, if the focus is on saving a little bit of premium, I can tell you from a few horror stories, when that claim happens and yeah. when the coverage where the insured is, they're very, you know, maybe regretful that they didn't go for that kind of more comprehensive form of coverage.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Well, here's another thing. I mean, again, maybe it's newer. You know, you live the insurance business. So recently I'm sitting here in our Vancouver office high above the city of Vancouver and the building yeah. starts to rock a couple of weeks ago. And one thing too with it, you've talked to us about with some of our commercial investment properties is the ability to carry kind of maybe, I could be describing this incorrectly, additional insurance to buy down the deductible. Can you talk a little bit about how that works? Because I think sometimes people, they may look at getting coverage and they're like, oh, but my deductible is still $500,000 or $400,000. Where would I come up with that money in the event of, let's just say it was an earthquake, where would I come up with the $500,000 deductible in order to get my insurance policy to kick in? Me and you have talked before about there's a, you know, additional policies you can have to potentially buy down that deductible. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that works?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you kind of opened with maybe common misconceptions in the industry, and certainly how your deductible is applied is like we would feel a common misconception and something maybe that isn't as readily understood as it should be. I was away in Europe at the time, but I know two recent earthquakes in BC, certainly one towards the end of February, most people, no matter where you were, felt their building shake. And it's definitely concerning. And certain, well, like sadly, I woke up this morning to see there was a major earthquake in Thailand. And there's already a lot of fatalities and a huge amount of damage done there. So BC, it's well known that we're in an earthquake zone. And the fear is that the big one is going to hit at some point. The issue is nobody knows when. So a lot of people will kind of keep their head in the sand about that and just say, okay, look, it's a potentially 100-year event. It'll never happen. But the way these catastrophic losses and severe weather events have been trending, it's quite concerning. When you look at Canada, for example, last year alone, we paid out $8.5 billion for these severe weather events. 9 of the 10 largest severe weather event losses in insurance occurred in the last 13 years in Canada. So these occurrences, these earthquakes, floods, wildfires are definitely occurring far more frequently and in severity. So you really want to make sure you know how your policy is going to respond if one of these catastrophic loss events occurs. In relation to earthquake coverage, it's a really important point. Your policy now will have a percentage deductible as opposed to a dollar amount deductible. So if you are in an area, say downtown, Richmond or Vancouver Island, you're most likely going to have a 20% to 25% earthquake deductible on your policy. So what that means, I mean, let's use the example again of a $10 million building on a replacement cost basis, and let's assume it is insured to value, and that $10 million limit is accurate. If an earthquake hits that building and there's a total loss, I think most people would know that, okay, 20% of that is going to be uninsured. So that's, let's say, a very large amount. It's $2 million
to
be uninsured. But the misconception is that that 20% will then be applied against any loss amount. So let's just say there's a $5 million loss in the building. You may think the earthquake deductible is going to be 20% of that $5 million. A $1 million uninsured amount. It's actually not. So your deductible is always applied against the total policy limits, irrespective of the size of the loss. So in that situation where we're just insuring a building for $10 million, regardless of the size of the earthquake loss, the insured will always be out of pocket by 20%, by $2 million. So that's a concern. And then when you add on top of that building limit, rental income limits, you know, that 20% or 25% uninsured amount is just getting higher and higher each year, especially as you mentioned, construction costs are going up. To offset that risk, what we provide now on a separate standalone policy is earthquake deductible buy-down coverage. So again, using an example of a 20% earthquake deductible applying, you can get a separate policy that will actually buy down that deductible and give you essentially additional earthquake coverage. So, you know, you can buy down to maybe 15%, 10%, 5%, or even 1%, or whatever your risk tolerance is. So again, you know, the key thing, we want to make people aware of what their exposure is, what their uninsured amount is in the event this type of loss occurs. And then we want to give them options to, you know, offset that by putting an insurance policy in place.
Now, we've covered off kind of like the landlord side of things. I know you obviously focus on construction. How has that industry changed, or the insurer? How has the insurance industry change with regards to construction? The costs have, like you mentioned earlier, have skyrocketed over the past few years. What are some changes, or maybe some stuff that's maybe changed on that side of the construction side of things?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's definitely been, I would think, a challenging time, like as we all know, for developers and for construction projects. You know, similar to kind of the landlord side of things, the costs involved in any projects have really ramped up. And now, you know, we're seeing this tariff situation, which is going to further increase those hard costs involved in any construction. The challenges we see is, you know, particularly for, say, wood frame buildings or different things like that, or projects with a lot of wood frame, there's been challenges in regards to getting capacity for projects, like higher limit projects. Whereas in the past, you could have got maybe full limits from one insurance company. Now you need to have one insurance company as a lead, and then additional non-lead insurance companies to fill that line. So getting the available limits for larger projects, it definitely has been a challenge in the past number of years. And then also, you know, a lot of delays in construction. So I arrange a lot of course construction policies where the developer or the contractor, if it's contractor arranged insurance, will tell me the project is going to be completed in 18 months. And then, of course, you know, when we're approaching 15, 16 months, it's pretty clear that we need to add another 6 to 12 months onto that project. So I think the time it's taking to complete these projects for developers is a big issue. And of course, that's just going to increase your insurance costs if there are those supply chain issues, or maybe, you know, a labor shortage that's going to extend the end of the project period. All of this, along with the increased costs in relation to hard costs, are driving up insurance premiums for construction insurance.
So right now, from a world standpoint, obviously we're in a very unique situation. We've got political unrest, got, you know, tariff wars. We've got all of this stuff. Is there anything that you kind of see is happening right now or could happen in the future that could have impact on the insurance world, that is something that people are talking about on your side of the business?
Yeah, absolutely. And like I would say, you know, it definitely isn't all doom and gloom in the insurance market. I mentioned kind of we've been into that hard market cycle in 2019, but the market has definitely softened this year. And we are seeing new capacity, higher limits being available to insurers. The market saw really aggressive increases in 2021 and 2022, and they were needed in regards to rate increases. They were needed to stabilize the market again and then kind of offset higher loss years insurance companies has. We're now past that point, so we are seeing the market softening and improve. So I think the future and the outlook is positive. I mean, the one caveat to that, the weather conditions are just so unpredictable. From an insurance underwriting perspective, insurance companies are really trying to get to grips with how do you underwrite and kind of forecast future losses accurately, because the changing weather conditions are so unpredictable these days. It's very hard now to have a crystal ball and accurately predict where things are going. But I'd say one additional positive that we'll see that I feel we're at a real inflection point is in relation to the use of AI in insurance and different new technologies that are available. As brokers and I think companies, it's very much at its infancy stage. But as we kind of continue to, learn and develop how we can utilize these new technologies to our advantage, I think that's going to trickle down to the buyer of insurance and, increase a better insurance solution for them.
Well, Doug, I know you're a busy guy and we appreciate you taking some time today to join us to tell us more about maybe some misconceptions in the insurance world. Like I said earlier, I feel like I learn something new every time I talk to you. You've been great to work with over the years and hopefully some of our listeners reach out to you. But Doug, before we let you go, we've got this six pack of lighthearted questions we ask everyone before so we get to know you a little bit more outside the office. Do you have a few minutes?
Yeah, absolutely, Corey.
All right, we'll kick it off here. First question, favorite vacation spot when you find the time?
So many to choose from. I'm going to say Thailand, especially given what's happened this morning. I'll throw some support their way. I had some amazing vacations in my 20s, so I'd love to get back at some point and bring the young family there. It may be a different kind of vacation this time, maybe less wild, but it's a beautiful place, so I'd love to get back there.
Awesome, awesome. Now, you're in Thailand. You've had a few beers. Someone gives you a karaoke mic. What song are you singing?
Oh, that would not be a pretty sight. But I would probably, growing up, big fan of Guns N' Roses. So I'd probably go with maybe Paradise City.
Oh, classic. Classic. I would be horrific, but I'd join you on that one there, especially after a couple of beers in Thailand.
That would be something like Corey.
We'll put that on the list of things to do this holiday season coming
exactly.
up. You've unfortunately, Doug, done something horribly wrong. You found yourself on death row, but you're allowed one more meal before it's all said and done. What meal are you having?
I'd probably go with a nicely cooked steak, medium rare, maybe with some prawns on top.
Oh, nice.
With a jacket potato, double baked, and some veggies. Yeah, I think that would do me.
I'd almost be scared to ask if you ever thought of this before, because that was very descriptive there. It's very, very descriptive on that last meal.
You did this thing, sure, you have to think of these things.
Looking back on your career now, you've obviously done this for a long time and been very successful. What is one piece of advice you'd give your younger self?
I would definitely say, it's always good to be curious. Don't be afraid to be, the stupidest person in the room. Ask those questions. Have a real hunger for knowledge and to try to continually learn and better yourself. And that's really served me well in my 18 years now. Really trying to continue to get better every day. But also from my client service perspective, be the person that gets things done. Be reliable and, be the person that your clients can count on and always kind of go to bat for your clients to get them the best outcomes.
Great advice. All right, Doug, next question up. Maybe do you have a book recommendation for our listeners? Doesn't have to be real estate related, but it can be.
Would you believe I probably read about 20 books a day. Now, I'd say 19 of them are probably to my two-year-old son. if you are looking for any farm animal noises, I'm your guy. But I'm currently reading Meditations by Marcus Aurelius, which is, yeah, it's been really interesting just with some kind of core principles on how to live your life. But if I'm honest, I don't read enough as I should or want to. And I've really become more of a podcast guy these days.
So your favorite podcast, I guess, without question, would be the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast, I'm assuming.
100%.
There you go.
100%.
That's the answer we're looking to. Doug, last question up here. Maybe something you've purchased for yourself, or say $1,500 or less over the past year that's had a positive impact on your life?
I'd say maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I bought a Garmin watch to kind of track sleep and even track your steps per day and your athletic performance. So I definitely know what time it is every day, and I know kind of, you know, where my sleep is at, where my performance is at. So I think that's been probably the best purchase I've had, and it's been very useful to me.
Yeah, you're not the first person to say that. So it's obviously something that's come in handy for a lot of people. Doug, how can our listeners find out more about yourself, Access Commercial? How could they get a hold of you if they had any questions or they had any insurance issues they wanted or insurance they needed? How can our listeners find out more about you?
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to connect with anyone who is interested in kind of learning more about insurance. I'm available on LinkedIn, of course. My email is doug.odewire@accessinsurance.ca. My cell phone is 604-828-1582.
Amazing. Doug, thank you once again for taking the time to join us today on the podcast. A great episode. I'm sure our listeners will find it very, very knowledgeable.
Thanks, Corey. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Doug. Take care. There you have it, folks. Our interview with Doug O'Dwyer, Access Insurance there. A great episode. And as I said during our chat there, I learn something new from Doug every day. And one thing that I can't stress enough, and we talked about it on the program, is a lot of people have owned real estate for a long period of time, and the cost of that real estate value has increased dramatically. The cost, the potential rental income you have coming in has probably increased dramatically, and the replacement cost value to replace that asset has also increased dramatically. So one thing we talk about there is just the importance of making sure your insurance broker, A, has commercial knowledge and is on the commercial side of it and maybe isn't doing your house insurance, but also that to make sure that you get these replacement cost appraisals done, you get proper stated values for stated insurance for your buildings. Doug, along with a lot of other great insurance professionals out there, having a guy or a girl like that on your side is super important. Also, when you're buying a building, getting their feedback on maybe the inspection report or getting their feedback early days before you go firm on that deal can really, really be beneficial on it. The insurance side of things is one thing you definitely do not want to cut corners on. And unfortunately, we've seen it in the brokerage business where clients have unfortunately cut corners and run into problems. So having an expert like Doug or a commercial insurance broker on your side early, really, 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 really will benefit you long-term as well as short-term. And that's another great episode today. For any of those people who want to get a hold of us, you can reach us anytime at our Vancouver office, 604-428-5255. You're welcome to send me an email, corey@williamwright.ca. Or you can go to our website, williamwright.ca. Sign up for the greatest and latest news. Always love hearing from guests. Always love hearing guests' ideas for programs. And that's where this program kind of originated from, was Doug. Having Doug on the program is we had quite a few insurance questions over time, we've been trying to get Doug on the program for a while to talk about that. So that's hopefully it answers some questions that some listeners might have had there. But love hearing from everyone. Please feel free to reach out anytime. And we'll be back next week with another great episode. Thanks for listening, guys. Take care.
Subscribe today.